John chapter 11, please. The 11th chapter of John's Gospel and verse number 1. And we're going to read the first 27 verses. And while you're turning to the place, thank you very much for the invitation to be here this morning. Thank you to Ronnie for his welcome. And we trust that together as we meet around God's Word just now, that the Lord would speak into each of our lives. John chapter 11 and verse number 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, who is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. Amen. And may the Lord add a blessing to that reading from his word. Chapter 11 of John's Gospel is probably one of the most outstanding chapters in the book of John. John in his book goes about to present to us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And John, as he writes his gospel, wants to set forth Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Christ of God, that people may believe in him, and that through believing they may find eternal life. That's what John says in the last chapter of the book. And chapter 11 must be one of the most outstanding chapters, and the contents of it must be one of the most outstanding miracles ever in the life and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. This chapter is the prelude to the Lord Jesus going into Jerusalem, riding on the back of a donkey, and crowds gathering around him, singing Hosanna to the Son of David. The Lord Jesus, in this chapter, not only is he just, as it were, a step from that Palm Sunday, but then the events that happened in the subsequent days. The upper room ministry, the Garden of Gethsemane, the arrest by the soldiers in the garden, the betrayal by Judas, then that mock trial before Pilate, and then the events of what we call Good Friday and the crucifixion. Really, this is really the prelude to everything and to the great climax of the ministry and life of why, and purposes to why Christ came into this world. But not only have we those wonderful and great significant events that are about to unfold, but in this chapter we are also brought face to face with sickness and death. And in every congregation of God's people, and indeed every gathering of humanity, wherever you go, in that gathering there will be those issues, sickness and death. Not only that, but in this chapter we have confusion and unanswered questions. And this morning as we look into the life of Martha and Mary, we will find there confusion and unanswered questions. They're also in this chapter brought before us the very human experience of tears and broken hearts. And maybe this morning that's the sort of situation that you find yourself in. Tears and a broken heart. Sickness and death is your experience in regards to your family circle. And maybe there's some here with confusion and unanswered questions. And you're wondering why. What's it all about? Why am I experiencing the turmoil that I'm in? And then, of course, there's also a funeral in this particular chapter. And the utter bewilderment of both family and friends. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother wouldn't have died. How do you answer a question like that? Well, this chapter has all of this contained within the verses. It reminds us of that lovely hymn, the works of God, the works and ways of God on high. I cannot solve, I do not try. But though I cannot these unfold, one thing I know, to this I'll hold, though all the world beside deny, a sinner saved by grace am I. I cannot tell you how or why, for oh, I do not understand. I only say I know, on this unshaken ground I stand. Because in the middle of this sickness and death, confusion and unanswered questions, in the midst of heartbreak and tears, even a funeral and utter bewilderment as to what's going on, the Christ of God says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What a question. In this chapter, we are brought face to face with deity. There's no one else could stand in these circumstances and look at death and look at broken hearts and look at tears and say, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm bigger than your tears. I'm greater than your heartache. And I'm greater than death. I am the resurrection and the life. This is the Christ. This is the Son of God. This is our Lord Jesus. We are brought face to face with deity. We are brought face to face with sovereignty. The Lord overrules in it all. We are brought face to face with compassion, with tenderness. Because isn't verse 35 the shortest verse in our Bible? Jesus wept. Compassion, tenderness. And we are brought face to face with majesty. The Lord Jesus isn't ruffled or troubled by what's going on in the world of this little family. He knows the end from the beginning. What a Savior. What a Christ. And the great truth of Christianity, the truth of death defeated, the truth of a grave that's conquered, the truth of sin paid and an ultimate victory. All of these wonderful truths are contained within this 11th chapter of John's Gospel. The glorious fact and confidence found in Christ and only in Him. Life beyond the grave. Hope beyond death. A day when all tears will be wiped away and there'll be no more death, sorrow, crying or pain. A new day when there's no more curse. All of these things are brought before us. And the wonderful truth, I know that He shall rise again at the resurrection. The Lord Jesus has all of these things for us here in chapter 11. You know what? Atheism says once you're dead, you're done for. That's it. Atheism has nothing to say when it comes to events like we read of in John chapter 11. Evolution has nothing to say. Evolution just says everything happens by chance. And the whole cosmic universe is just spinning around and everything that happens is just fate. And there's no one in control. There's no sovereign God. They have no answers to events like this. Evolution, atheism, and of course false religion. When it comes to death and heartbreak and tears, they have only got platitudes. But the Lord Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I know, I care, but more than that, I've defeated death. And Jesus stands gloriously triumphant at the side of an open grave. Now, the story is well familiar and known to us. You'll notice in verse number 1 that all the main characters that are in regards to the story are listed for us in verse 1. Lazarus is mentioned, Mary is mentioned, and Martha is mentioned. We also know from verse number 1 the location where all of these events took place. We're told in verse number 1 that it was in Bethany, the town of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And we're also introduced to the wonderful truth in verse 5 and also in verse 2 of the close relationship between and the affection that the Lord Jesus had for this family. Look what verse 2 says. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And then verse 5 tells us the other side of the coin. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You see, not only was this a family who worshipped the Lord, they had a devotion and an affection for Christ, but also we are told this, that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And as we gather as God's children this morning, isn't it wonderful to know that somehow by God's grace, we too can look up into heaven this morning and we can say, Lord, I love You. But I know this, I love You because You first loved me. And Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they were a worshipful and a devoted followers of Christ. And they had this intimacy with the Lord. But that didn't stop or in any way hinder problems coming into their home. And I know we all know this, but we need to be reminded that just because we know and love the Lord, that does not mean that life will be a bed of roses or we'll always have the sun shining in our face. And this little home gets the tragic news that Lazarus is sick. And as we have already read, as the events unfold, not only sick, but he died. And in the normal routines of life, these are our experiences, just as they were the experience of this family here. And whenever this experience came, Mary and Martha, what was their response? Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. Have you ever felt like that? Where was the Lord whenever I needed him the most? Lord, if you had been here, Lord, you were able to give sight to the blind. Lord, you were able to heal that nobleman's son. And then, Lord, there was the man who came down through the roof and he was paralyzed and you were able to raise him up. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Is there someone this morning and events have overtaken you? And there's something in your life, either family, business, vocational, neighbours, whatever it might be. And somehow you think this morning, Lord, if you had been here, where is the Lord in all of this? Where is God's hand? Why is the Lord not intervening? Why is it that he seems distant? Does he not see? Does he not care? Does he understand? Lord, if thou hadst been here. Now, it tells us in verse number 3, therefore his sisters sent unto Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, if you read back into chapter 8 and chapter 9 of the where Jesus has been, it is believed that the Lord Jesus was in a place called Bethabara. Mary and Martha lived in the town of Bethany. And Bethabara to Bethany is somewhere in the region of 20 miles. 20 miles away, and trouble strikes their home. And Mary and Martha said, Lord, why were you 20 miles away when my brother needed you the most? Lord, you would have known that Lazarus was going to die. You know that Lazarus was going to fall sick. Lord, you could have been half a mile up the road. Lord, you could have actually been visiting us when Lazarus was sick. And you know what? Distance. And the one that they needed the most, they felt distance became an issue that exacerbated their problem. And sometimes in life, some people are saying, if only. If only help had been closer when I needed it. If only the person I needed hadn't been out of the country. If only they'd answered their phone. And somehow or other distance becomes part of their problem. Lord, you were 20 miles away. You were 20 miles away when Lazarus got sick. And all the ifs begin to come. But not only is distance a problem, but the other thing that begins to just magnify and exacerbate their issues is delay was a problem. Because verse number 3 tells us that they sent unto him. And then verse 17, when Jesus actually arrives, it says, then when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had lain in the grave 4 days already. He had lain in the grave 4 days already. And then verse 6 tells us, when Jesus had heard therefore that Lazarus was sick, he remained or abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Lord, why did you delay? Why were you so far away? And then, Lord, why did you delay? It is believed by those who have looked at this that the messenger left Bethany. And as the messenger left Bethany on day number 1, to travel the 20 miles, Lazarus must have died on the day that the messenger left. On that same day, the messenger arrives and gives Jesus the news. The Lord Jesus spends 2 more days, that makes 3 days. And then he makes his journey to Bethany, and when he arrives in Bethany, 4 days have passed. And yet it says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But why delay? Why delay? Unanswered prayer. Sometimes people have a problem with unanswered prayer. Lord, you're far away, but Lord, why are you slow to come? That was their issue. And then, of course, the next issue, distance, delay was an issue, but disappointment. Disappointment becomes an issue. Because the first thing that Martha says to Jesus whenever Jesus comes, when he actually arrives, he says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Lord, you've let me down. Could you imagine being Martha on that day when Jesus arrived 4 days later? Lord, you've let me down. I love you. Lord, you could have been here. But Lord, I'm disappointed. And that is an emotion of life. We can't spiritualize these to say that Mary didn't know. With tears she says, Lord, if you had been here. If you had been here. Martha comes out to meet him and she says, Lord, if you'd been here. But Mary, she sat in the house and she's got exactly the same reaction. Lord, if you'd been here. We have all different ways of coping with grief. Martha comes out and faces the Lord. Mary remains at home, but inside their hearts are torn. Disappointment, delay, distance. And then the capital darkness becomes an issue because Lazarus is dead. 4 days already dead. That's dark. There's no way out of this. There's no light at the end of this tunnel. All hope is extinguished. Look at verse 21. Then said Martha, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Martha believes something, but she knew this, Lazarus is dead. There's no way he's coming out of that tomb after 4 days. There's no light in this darkness. There's no answer to this. And darkness and disappointment and delay and distance has just shrouded their home. And they've somehow or other got their eyes on the issue and they've taken their eyes on what Christ can do. How easy that is in life. But the Lord Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Martha, do you believe it? Oh Lord, I believe he'll rise at the last day. Mary, do you believe it? Well, their faith, their words were greater than their faith. They thought all hope was gone. Now, the other thing that we notice in this chapter is this, the humanity of the Lord Jesus. Not only is he the Christ of God, but throughout the chapter you'll see indications and expressions of the Lord's humanity. In verse number 6, it talks about him hearing and receiving news. He heard, therefore, that Lazarus was sick. Verse number 6, the omnipresent God, but it says in verse 6 that he stayed in the same place where he was. He remained 20 miles up the road. In verse 17, whenever he gets to Bethany, he finds out that he receives information that Lazarus is 4 days dead already. In verse 33, he groans and he's troubled. And then in verse 34, he asks, where have you buried him? And then in verse 35, Jesus weeps. All of those are expressions of our Lord's humanity. But verse 7 tells us when after the Lord has received the news and remained 2 days in Bethabara, verse 7 tells us, then after that he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? It's now the right time for the Lord to go to Bethany. The disciples say, it's a bit dangerous to go to Bethany because, you know, they're out to get you there. You're going to be the last time you were there, they were going to stone you. But then in verses 9 to 14, the Lord Jesus introduces a wonderful truth that as far as he's concerned in regards to the death of a believer, it's sleep, sleep. And it makes a lovely study throughout the New Testament when you read about the believer's death. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Those who are alive and remain shall not precede those who are asleep. You see, when it comes to death for the believer, it's just a sleep, because one day the Lord will raise us to meet and to go to be with him at his resurrection. But the Lord Jesus introduces this truth about sleep, and the disciples thought, well, if he's only sleeping, he'll do well. But the Lord Jesus, we're told, he spoke of not of taking rest and sleep, but in verse 14 he says plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. Verse 18 tells us that they come to Bethany. And it reminds us here that Bethany is near to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs. And as I already mentioned in our introduction, Jesus is now just 2 miles from Jerusalem. Chapter 12, we read about the riding into Jerusalem on the donkey. And indeed, when the Lord performs this miracle, it does nothing more in regards to the Pharisees and the Jews. It incenses them as to get rid of Jesus. And the events of this chapter lead and are the prelude that Christ used in order to bring the wrath of the Jewish Pharisees and others against them when they found that Lazarus, whatever the Lord Jesus rose, raised Lazarus from the dead, and many as a result of that came to know Christ. The Jewish leaders began with greater vehemency to intensify their efforts to have Jesus put to death. Have a look at verse 45, please. Look at verse 45. Then many of the Jews who came to Mary and had seen the things what Jesus did believed on them. And some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he, not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation. Let me ask you a question. What did Mary and Martha know about that? What did they know about the sovereign purposes of God? What did they know about the events surrounding Lazarus's death? What did they know about the notoriety that would be going abroad of Jesus when he raised a man from the dead who was dead 4 days? What did they know about the reaction of Pharisees and Jews and how they would just intensify their purposes to take Christ and to put him on a cross at Calvary? God is working to a plan and God is working to a purpose. And Martha and Mary may be filled with brokenheartedness and tears, but God is working for his glory and fulfilling his purposes. And friends, this morning there's more than a funeral here. There's more than someone who's just been sick and dying here. God is working his purposes through his people. And I don't know what's in your life this morning. And I don't know what it is that you have got that you wish wasn't there. But you know this. All things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And when we begin to see that all events are in God's hands, we will begin to see God's hand in all events. You see, the resurrection of Lazarus was the prelude to Calvary. It was the prelude to Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is chapter 12. Chapter 13 to 17 is the upper room. Chapter 18 is Gethsemane. Chapter 19 is Calvary. Chapter 20 is the resurrection morning. And Lazarus doesn't know it, but his sickness and his death puts Christ right out there in the focus of his enemies. And they intensify the fact that they're going to put him on a cross. But God is doing all things after the counsel of his own will. And indeed it is true in all of our lives as we yield ourselves to him. But what about this family and what about their grief? What about this family here and what about their grief? I think verse 15 must be one of the most amazing verses in all of the chapter, if not all of the Bible. Here's a broken-hearted sisters, and they've called for the Lord to heal their brother before he dies. And Jesus says in verse 15 to his disciples, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you might believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Could you imagine if you were Martha or Mary, and Jesus says, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. What was their issue? Lord, if you had been here, and Jesus says, I'm glad I wasn't there. They say, Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Jesus says, I'm glad I wasn't there. Now, Jesus doesn't say, I'm glad he died. He doesn't say, I'm glad you're brokenhearted and you're crying. But he says, I'm glad I wasn't there. Because there's a bigger picture here and you don't know it. If it was left to you, you would just want everything to be calm and rosy in the garden. But you know what? God is going to use this for greater value and greater things than you could ever imagine. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? My times are in his hand. Imagine if we were to go to heaven this morning. Martha, do you remember that about Lazarus and dying? Do you remember you were crying and you said, Lord, if you'd been here, oh, Hugh, I got it wrong. I'm glad the Lord wasn't there either. Mary, do you remember you were saying, Lord, if you'd have been here and you were questioning and you'd... Hugh, I got it wrong. Jesus was right. It was good he didn't come for 4 days. Yes, he raised Lazarus, but all those other things, all those people who believed in him because Lazarus died and was raised, all those events that transpired that took him to the cross to pay for our sins, all that God was doing, and we were just part of his plan. Brothers and sisters, this morning we need to remember all things work together for good to those who love God, and they loved God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. You see, the Lord Jesus had already raised Jairus' daughter. He had already raised the widow of Nain's son. Death was no object to him. But the events of this chapter were God working out his purposes. And Mary and Martha, because of their short-sightedness, they didn't really appreciate it. But better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Better it is to let the Lord have his way and to trust him through the darkness and the disappointment and the delays and all of those things. And as we come to verse 35, it says, Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could this man who opened the eyes of the blind have caused that this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, said I not to thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people who stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. What's your issue this morning? What's the thing that troubles you and you think, Lord, do you know? Do you care? Are you so far away? Why are you delaying? Let the Lord have his way in your life every day. There's no joy, no peace like walking in his will. Let the Lord be God and let him do as he seemeth good. And Martha and Mary teach us this morning, as they reflect on what the events of this passage, they would say, Jesus knew all the time what he was doing, and we were wrong. We were wrong. Brothers and sisters, maybe it is not till the looms are silent and the shuttles cease to fly. Will God roll back the canvas and reveal the reasons why? The dark threads were as needful in the skillful weaver's hands as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. He knows, he cares, he loves. He loved them all the way through the chapter. But somehow or other their faith wavered. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. There's nothing that's greater or bigger than him. Even death is under his feet. And we worship him this morning as a loving, risen, glorified, tender, compassionate Savior. And may we commit our way to him as we step out into this new week, knowing that he cares for each of us, whatever our circumstances might be this morning. May God bless his word to our heart for his glory.